everybody?
What's happening, family?
And welcome back to another episode of Is This Gonna Cause an Argument? My name is Angel Lakita Moore, a.k.a. Angel Tanksley, a.k.a. That Chick Angel. Oh, yeah, feel it. That Chick Angel. And I'm joined by my jazzy, my snazzy, my know how to hit it from the backy, gorgeous husband, boyfriend, lover, and co-nominee. Tell him who you are, baby.
I am the other host of This Is Gonna Cause an Argument, Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank. Hey, fam, thank you for tuning in. This is a podcast we do every single week. What?
Nothing. I haven't said that. Can I not be happy? I think you are. You allergic to my happiness?
No, not at all. I was just wondering what you was laughing at. Anyway, it's a podcast we do every single week, and we pretty much talk about anything we want to. Talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, the current events, and whatever else. We do this podcast every single week with our wonderful immediate family. That immediate family is our Patreon. You also can be a part of that media family. The reason we call them a media family is these are the people we feel a little bit closer to them because we do things outside of them just watching us on this podcast, film it live and before, and we talk to them before and after. We do more than that. All right. We do things on the weekends. We do movie nights, game nights. We do prayer. They join us at parties that we have. It's a good time over here at Patreon. Anyway, you can go to patreon.com/thatchickangel, sign up for the low of $5 a month, be a part of that goodness. And we also joined by some wonderful sponsors.
We do have some lovely sponsors today, and they are Factor, Lumi Deodorant, ZocDoc, and BetterHelp. Let me tell you a little bit about sponsorships in this podcast. A sponsorship is when a company decides to partner with us because they think our audience will enjoy their product or service. So what's great is that a lot of times we get a customized URL or promo code that allows our audience to get a discount on those products or services. So if you hear about something that we tell you about that you just like, you know what, I've been wanting to try something like that, please give them a try. Use our URL, use our promo code. One, because we want you to get that discount. Two, it's because it lets that company know that this was a good partnership, that this product or service actually speaks to what our audience wants or needs. So again, we'll tell you more about them later on in the podcast. But let's just start with jumping into our segment, In My Feelings.
Let me tell you what's got me in my feelings.
I got something making me feel good. We did it last week, but I feel like we should do it again this week because I feel like even more things have happened. Right, we're in a season where I feel like a lot, like everything is kind of, now I don't want to say up in the air, but it's like a lot of
stuff. A lot of shit's moving right now.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is moving. I'll start with what's got me feeling some type of way. If you all have been listening to me for a while, you should be able to hear my voice is not my normal voice. I have not had my full speaking nor singing voice for I think close to 2 weeks now. And I'm not sick. Like usually either sickness or like straining a lot would cause this. While yes, our party that we had over a week ago, definitely I did a lot that weekend. I hosted a baby shower, which caused me to project that week, the week of the baby shower. I was having to announce stuff for Black History Month. So I did use my voice a lot, but this isn't like me belting, like doing a Broadway musical. And I actually, when speaking, I have really good vocal technique. So I am confused on why my voice is gone. As soon as the tour is over, I'm going to go see an ENT because this is not the life that I want to live, especially as a podcaster. What? I can't. I got to have a voice and it sounds like I am hoarse. Do you hear it?
Yeah, I've heard it. You were getting sick a few weeks ago. You was on the verge. You remember you were saying, I think I'm getting sick.
Because you remember when you were like, I got allergies. And I was like, no, I don't know if this
Anytime I sniffle, I ain't, oh, no, you getting sick.
Well, no. The only reason why I said it that time is because I started having similar symptoms to you. And I was like, I don't know if you have allergies because I'm starting to have symptoms.
And that's when, of course, the tour had already started.
Mm-hmm.
And all this other stuff had happened. And you haven't had any vocal rest. You get on stage and yell once a week. You got all these podcasts. And you never stopped sniffling from when you was actually sick. Remember, you've been sniffling since late last year. The whole nasal, post-nasal drip, that's been going on for months now. So, yes, you do need to go see a specialist.
It's got me pissed off.
I imagine. You should be pissed off because a lot of your stuff relies on your voice.
Some of the drip that you hear is from these old makeup sponges. Let me tell you how I know. After I put on my makeup, sometimes things start to burn. So that's when I know, it's time to throw this thing away. Like whatever the bacteria is, either my eyes start to burn or the inside of my nose starts to burn. And I'm like, this got too much bacteria. Don't matter how many times I wash you, it's over with for you.
Got to let it go.
Yeah. So it's just irritating because I'm very aware of when I am getting sick because I work a job that does not allow me to be just like, well, you just stay at home and work from home. That's not what acting allows me to do. That's not what touring allows me to do.
What a whole lot of stuff allows you to do.
Very true.
Yeah.
But like specifically with acting, either you are healthy on the day or you do not have a job. Those are the two options. Yeah. There's no pushing it back. So I'm usually quite aware of my health and like when stuff is starting to creep up on me. So me not having a voice, and I don't think, again, I honestly don't think this is attached to sickness. I think this is attached to overuse in me doing something improperly. It's just got me pissed off. It does. It's kind of like if your body does something where you just like.
Oh, you preach to the choir.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Yeah. It's like when you wake up with a backache, that's what me waking up with no voice is like. Like, no. Anyway, go ahead.
I was going to hit on something completely different with what's got me in my feelings, but something literally just came through on my phone. And it has pissed me off.
What?
One thing I can't stand. Hold on. Let me see. Okay. No, that's not. This is somebody different. But still, I'm going to forward this to you. I'm going to tell y'all what's going on right now in this moment and why I'm pissed off. One thing I absolutely despise is a group text message that I didn't ask to be a part of. It pisses me off to no end. On the Samsung, you can bulk together a message and send it out like a group text message, but you have the option to make it individual. So like when I like, let's say it's a invitation to a party or a Merry Christmas, I can send that out to 15, 20 people and just toggle over. Not a group message, but send it out individually. So everybody gets their own individual message. And when they respond, only I get it, not 15, 20 other people. Right now, there's an organization that we have our sons in. It's ran by us, meaning when I say us, black folk. And because we have sons in two different age groups, I get text messages from two different things. However, in this group message, it ain't just information like, oh, we're meeting here today or be here this time. It's, oh, yeah, so we going to be 15 minutes late. And then other people liking that message. So all day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, my phone was constantly dinging. And I've told these people multiple times. First of all, y'all have way too many group text messages because I in way too many groups. I could see if it was just the two from one age group and the other age group. But y'all just forget people and add another group message and then add me to that group message too. So now I'm getting we meeting here at 12:30 from two different group text messages for the one age group. And then people, we don't need you to like something in a group message.
Come on.
Just acknowledge, you ain't even got to acknowledge that you seen it. Just look at it and move on. So now I got to go and I got to mute these goddamn text messages. And then I look at my phone, 30. 20, 15. It is lit up orange on my phone saying that's how, like, now, even if there is important information in that group, I'm not going to look at it because it's too much crap.
Yeah.
The one thing that the reason that that just hit my mind, because I was going to talk about, like I said, something completely different. Somebody just text messaged me and said, "Hey, Soror." And I thought it was because one of the people that run this group kept texting me.
"Hey, Soror.
Hey, Soror." Over and over. "This is not Angel. This is Marcus's phone. Angel's number is." It got to the point to when I had to see this person face to face. I said, "Give me your phone. Change this in your phone right now in front of me." Because this went on for a year and a half. So somebody else just said, I don't know what this is from. I think it's from when me and you was on tour. I don't know how they got my mess. But anyway, I don't group text people in groups. That if you in a group text, you have no idea you in it because everybody's getting a private message.
Now, you may have accidentally.
I did it one time. Mm-hmm. The fact that you can remember.
Yeah.
I did it one time. And when I realized I did it, I followed up immediately. Do not respond to this message. I did not mean for this to go out as a group. Send me something privately. Do not respond to this message because I'm courteous. I didn't just leave it.
Right. Right.
God.
I can understand you being frustrated. I would be frustrated as
well. I'm thinking about just blocking all of them. Just block.
Don't.
Email me.
Listen. You know what's irritating? When you want to eat well, you want to eat good, but then it takes forever. Nobody wants to do that. And that is why I'm so happy that Factor is a sponsor of today's podcast. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Everything is fresh, never frozen, okay? It's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from each week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. Two-minute meals fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. Pancakes, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday snacks, and more. There's no prep and there is no mess, okay? Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or clean up needed. And it's flexible to your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need, choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. Factor is a perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. Sign up and save. We've done the math, all right? Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/argue50.
Argue50.
And use code argue50.
Argue50.
To get 50% off. That's code argue50.
Argue50.
At factormeals.com/argue50.
Argue50.
To get 50% off. And we thank Factor Meals for sponsoring today's podcast. Okay, so what's got me feeling good is so many things. There's a lot of things that actually have me feeling good. One, that stress that I was going through the last couple of weeks because there was just so many things happening at once.
Mm-hmm.
Got through that, and I don't know if y'all recall, I was like, money is going out faster than it's coming in. That's finally fluctuated to a, like, I was able to do a payment on our credit card because we pay our credit card down to zero. We try to every month. Anything we spent the month prior, that is all paid off when entering
that's,
the next
that's
month.
That's the only way to truly get the benefits of a credit card.
You're not paying the interest and all
don't
that.
Don't pay the interest.
Excuse me. So what had happened was that made me so happy is that I didn't realize that a lot of the vendors that I was paying for these parties and events and all that stuff, I wasn't able to pay with credit card. I had to pay through Zelle.
Mm-hmm.
So I was expecting the credit card bill is still high. However, we use our credit card for pretty much everything. We use it like cash and then we pay it off. It was so much lower than what I thought it was going to be. Wasn't, listen, still high.
Still,
It was still high.
She was expecting a mountain. And instead, she got an extremely large, smaller mountain.
I know. I got like a hill. And I was like, we can get over this hill. Listen. So I am grateful that even though I'm irritated at how I still got in a little bit of a tizzy, I didn't let it consume me. I was able to process what I was feeling, understand where it was coming from. And then, as my therapist would say, I found the data, used the data to actually figure out what was going on. So for me, I was able to like get on my brand manager about where's the payment for the brand deal last year, because as soon as I see that hit the account, I know I'm going to feel better. That thing hit that. Has it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it did.
Did it?
It did. Mm-hmm. It hit the account. I was able to just like, let's just pay these folk, like Angel. It was more so not that I thought, oh my God, we're going to go into the negative. It's like not wanting to see my account, our accounts hit a certain level.
Yeah.
Just made me go, same thing. Like getting a better understanding of the tour and just how those finances work, because this is a whole different level. This is a different level even in a way for Kevin, because, you know, Ball Brothers was a Live Nation tour. This is an independent tour that me and Kevin are producing that's in theaters. This is a different thing. This is a whole different beast. We see more things this time, which is, for me, when I told Kevin I wanted to do the tour, when me and him finally had like our for real conversation, I was like, the biggest thing for the tour for me is I want to learn. I was like, there are certain things you don't get to see until you're doing it. And this is one of those scenarios. I've never done a theater tour, so I can't see theater contracts until I'm sitting in a theater doing a theater tour. So I have learned a lot. I mean, astronomical. So I don't know. I'm just happy. Me and Marcus attended an event yesterday, the Black Excellence event called To Be Celebrated by Trell. He is the creator of the Black Excellence Brunch. And just being able to get ideas of how to curate live events, and also just getting to sit with my husband at the event. We were sitting with Kyla Pratt and her mom. They are both a hoot and a holler. Yeah,
they are hilarious.
Yeah, it's just been good. Like, I'm super busy, obviously, but like coming back home from the tour, like, first thing I did was got Amar. Did I get him dressed? No, yeah, I got him dressed. Me and Amar, we left and went to see Lil Marcus run in his track meet. Then I got Marcus to his mentorship program, took the boys to stay at my mom's. It was still like I felt like I was able to fold right back in too.
Yeah. Well, this was an extremely short trip too. So that was the other benefit.
Yes. It's going to be longer weekends here soon, especially with the twins' birthday. But what's got you feeling good?
Yeah, now I'm having trouble finding something that got me feeling
good. No.
Think about the other thing that had me on my, in my feelings. Then you just mentioned that damn birthday coming up. Yeah, it's I've been like the starting of this year, I feel like I kind of I was stagnant in my thought process of like moving forward with a bunch of stuff. But what's got me feeling good is I finally got to that point of I'm sick and tired of the thinking about it, and I'm just going to start executing and doing shit regardless of what it looks like. I was telling Patreon before I started, before we actually started recording, is kicking off Taste It With Tank again. Me and Angel talked about a couple of ideas for me to start doing as far as getting myself out there and seeing more. And so I've already been started looking up stuff for that. And then one of the events that's coming up for the NAACP is the golf thing that you have to be invited to.
Bring that up.
I've been talking about playing golf, or at least just starting to casually play golf for, I don't know, it's probably been a couple of years because I played in the past. But what I will do is I will get into something and I will just dive in and start doing it. And now I'm not like, now I got a couple of people, one of my boys specifically, he done got addicted to it. That ain't me. But I do want to get out and just do some golf just because, one, I've seen courses. I've been on courses. I like being outside. I like the environment. I done got my gear. Yep, got my golf shoes. Actually, one, I got some stuff I thought I'd be able to return that I didn't like, and I read their return policy wrong. So, unfortunately, I'm stuck with some stuff, and I got to exchange some stuff. But excited about that, just doing something new. And, you know, I'm excited about this rain leaving up out of here so I can, you know, get these old schools on the car. I mean, these old schools on the car. These old schools on the road a little more. But, yeah.
This has got you feeling good?
Yeah.
He's putting together his golf outfit. He's a weird.
Last thing you want to do is fill out a place when you wear something like that, because a lot of, like, golf clubs and stuff, you know, there's a dress code. But even outside of that, with this being an event that's going on that somebody's throwing, it's just like, now, especially with his black folk, ain't no telling what, you know, like, mm-hmm. I ain't trying to just show up in some sweatpants and a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And everybody else got on, like, the golfer slacks and stuff.
Right.
And cardigans and shit. And I'm over, you know, looking like, walking around like DMX, which I don't mind. But I will at that event like that. But anyway, yeah, just trying to, you know, fill that whole thing out. But
it's, listen, let me tell you, there's a lot of things happening with the NAACP Image Awards. There's a lot of events. There's a golf invitational. There's a fashion show. There's the virtual awards where our award will be announced, I think, specifically on Tuesday, I think ours is announced. And the unfortunate thing is all the communication is coming to me, and I'm having disperse and disseminate.
Because I'm like, Angel, when is this? When is that? Because, again, black folk don't be communicating in the best way.
That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing right now during this podcast, is that I received some news that I'm just like, that's not what we were told. Can we please get this together? Also, I can't tell y'all what, and then we'll go to the next segment. I was invited to speak on a panel at a very big conference in September. That's all I'm going to tell y'all. I'm super duper duper excited, and I feel like some of y'all might be there. Some of y'all, not all of y'all, maybe a few, but I'm super excited, honored that I was asked, and I can't wait till I can tell y'all. We're actually going to confirm with them today, but yeah.
Somebody said they like playing golf but hate watching it. Let me tell you what I would rather watch. Golf then. I'm sorry, that came out the wrong way. But anyway, I would watch golf any day of the week over baseball. Mm. Baseball is the most boring thing. I'd rather watch fishing. Not even the highlights when they just pulling stuff out, just them floating in a boat. Baseball is fun. I've played before. It's fun to play, but that's the most boring thing on this planet to watch. Most of it's just adjustment of your gloves and the bat and your hat and spitting. Like, it's just the most boring thing.
I know it. It is. Okay, so I want to go to our next segment, but a part of me thinks that it might be better for us to go jump into the next ad and then go to the next segment. You cool with that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, now that we over here talking about golf, and I'm sure it's going to be good and warm, I'm glad that we have this next sponsor to be there with us, and that is Lumi Deodorant. Unfortunately, embarrassing BO moments are ones that stay with you all of your life. I recall in high school leaving out of the house without deodorant on and honestly wanting to call my mother to pick me up. I recall going into the bathroom, wetting a paper towel, rewashing my underarms throughout the day. to keep them smelling fresh, because it was just like, what else am I going to do? I don't have my deodorant on. Ah, it's the worst. Well, fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about BO again. Unlike certain other deos, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way. Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet, and yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Fast forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body DO has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who love feeling confident from head to toe. Special offer, new customers get $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with code ARGUE at LumiDeodorant.com. We absolutely love Lumi here, especially on tour, y'all, because being in the airport, traveling, the airplane gets hot for no reason. Then it cools down. Your body temperature is doing all this. So you begin to perspire. And, you know, a lot of that ends up causing your body to start smelling a certain way. And you don't want to sit in no cramped plane just smelling yourself. That's just not what life is about. But with Lumi, I don't have to worry about that. I'm able to not only hit these pits, but I can get up underneath these breasts, okay, underneath the fupa, between the thighs, all them places that carry a lot of heat. I absolutely love it, and I love the cream, the tube. It comes like there's some that come in a tube that you can just kind of rub on. So let me tell you some things that make Lumi completely unique and different. One, it's created by OBGYN, who realized that a lot of OB was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. The fact that you can put it in your belly button, your butt crack, your vulva, your feet. Listen, it's a whole body deodorant. You can't be doing that with everybody else's stuff. It's baking soda free, paraben free. It's pH balanced for safe use below the belt. And they have some amazing scents that are bright, like clean tangerine, lavender sage, and toasted coconut. Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes in a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, that's the one I like, and two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi Starter Pack with code ARGUE.
ARGUE.
At LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code ARGUE.
ARGUE.
And we thank Lumi for sponsoring today's podcast. We also want to thank, listen, and this one is out here saving lives, okay? ZocDoc. Listen, guys, we've actually used this company, and when I tell you, we love it. We all know there are things in life you have to compromise on. We have to compromise on what we budget. We have to compromise on how we spend time away from the house. Sometimes we have to compromise on who's taking the kids to school and who's picking them up. But when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. So don't go back to the one doctor that uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now, or that they take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting in awkwardly on hold with the receptionist. And these doctors all have verified reviews from real, actual patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between 24 and 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. We've used it. We use it especially for Marcus,
mm-hmm.
and we think you should use it too.
Absolutely.
Go to ZocDoc.com/argue.
Argue.
And download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find a doctor and book a top-rated doctor today. I'm going to say that again so I can say it exactly how it's written. Go to ZocDoc.com/argue.
Argue.
And download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZOCDOC.com/argue.
Argue.
ZocDoc.com/argue.
Argue.
Okay, guys. We're going to do take it or tank it or take it.
That was take it or tank it.
Take it or tank it. I think I'll take it.
I think I'll tank it.
Y'all get what I'm saying. This is a segment where we take a saying, a phrase, and we decide, is we with it or is we ain't?
Mm-hmm.
If we tanking it, that means get that crap out of here. Don't nobody care about what you're saying. Or if we take it, we're like, yeah, we gotta. It really resonates with what we feel. All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Parenting is not about being perfect. It's about being present. I don't like that one as much. Okay. I got a better one. It takes a village to raise a child and a strong marriage to build that village.
Oh, I'm definitely tanking that.
Tanking?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
It can. I agree. It's part of it. It's like it's two parts.
Tell me.
It takes a village to raise a child. We've heard this. A lot of times when you talk about village, you're talking about the community that you're in. Mm-hmm. I think it can be subjective to where you are. However, it can, when I say where you are, meaning are you referring to neighborhood? Are you referring to teachers, people you see at church, you know, people that your child is around that you know personally, that they know personally and trust? That's what it means by village, I'm assuming. And that can help because you can definitely use influence outside of just what's in your household.
Mm-hmm.
As a child growing up, you get experience to different things. As far as it takes a good marriage to, what was it?
Build that village.
To build that village. That's BS because you have great children coming from single parent households. like you got Angel, for example. That's Miss Dorothy raised four children by herself, and all these girls turned out to be perfectly fine. She didn't need no marriage. She probably could have did without a few of them to make it even better. That one I would definitely have to tank that part. But you know, a village, as far as you know, a village to raise a child, especially I can agree with that. Not to say that everybody gets the right village. You know, sometimes yeah. You know people are in areas or things that where, you know, the parents need to protect them from the village that they're in.
Yeah.
Or that they're exposed to. I've definitely seen that before. But yeah, so the first part I will take subjectively. Second part, BS.
I am going to take it.
Yeah. Both.
Yeah, just to be different.
Just to be different.
Just to be different. You know, I definitely think regardless of whether or not you agree with it takes a village to raise a child, a village is raising your child regardless. Yeah. Regardless of whether or not you want them to, once your child hits a certain age, the influence that is around them is not fully dictated by you. So unless you are homeschooling them and they don't get to be around other children, a village is going to be raising your child with you, whether or not you like it.
Yeah. Unless you got them locked in the house.
You got to be homeschooling them. And because one, the laws of the land also like whatever government you live, if you're in the United States, Canada, whatever government you're under, set some of the parameters in which you have to raise your child. Two, if you are allowing your child to have some sort of social upbringing, the way other children are raised are influencing how your child also behaves and sees the world. Not to say that they're just going to repeat whatever their friends are doing, but it still has some influence. Just even with us having children in California, it has taken us a lot longer to get our children used to saying yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, because the village that they're in does not require that of them. So it has taken us an even longer time to instill that that is a custom or tradition that we would like for them to uphold as a sign of respect, because these other kids ain't doing it, nor are the adults requiring that of our children. Because a lot of these adults are like, you can call me by my first name.
Yeah, I was going to say, they got a school. Actually, they got schools out here that they call them Teacher Lisa.
Oh, and sometimes they don't even get teacher in front of it. It's just Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa. We had a neighbor. We had to correct their son because he would walk up in the house, the little young boy, too. Mm-hmm. Hey, Angel. Hey, Mark. Hey, first of all, you're going to put a mister in front of that at the very least.
So, again, that is an example of how the village, regardless of whether or not you want to acknowledge the village, is helping to raise your child. Now, where I will take the other statement of a strong marriage to create the village, while yes, I understand what you're saying, that it does not take a marriage to create a village if you're coming from a single house. Well,
a strong marriage. A marriage to create a strong village.
No, it takes a strong marriage to create a village is what it said.
Yeah.
I am going to take it with the caveat of our assistant Kennedy's back here dying.
About to drown on a bottle of water.
I will say that if I take it under the guise of, I'm going to shape this to make it work, that the stronger our marriage is, the better of a village I think we are able to create around our kids. And what I mean by that is that when I think of a strong marriage, I don't just think of the intimacy between you and I and the love between you and I. I think of the fact that we are a marriage that decided to create a family. And being that we are a marriage that decided to create a family, are we both putting in on raising these kids? For the sake of this, for the sake of reality, I can say we both are. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, the village that we're creating around our children, we're able to have more eyeballs on who we're allowing our children to be around. We're able to have more eyeballs on the friends that Marcus has decided to make. And, are these the type of children that we want our kids around? Are their parents the type of parents we want our kids around? Same thing. We just did we could have done Tanksley Pride. Last week we met with the college counselor at Marcus's high school. Mm-hmm. It's the person that just helps us schedule the classes for Marcus to make sure he's on track to be able to go to college after his senior year. And the fact that both of us were there, mm-hmm. I think one made Marcus very comfortable to kind of run the meeting.
Yeah.
Like the guy was asking him questions. Marcus was not looking to us to help him with the answer. He answered the questions directly to that man. He thought about it. And I think that also informed the counselor about how you then have to treat our son and how you have to pay attention to him. So I think the strong marriage part does make the village respond in a very specific way to how they are raising your child. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
That's the way I'm going to take it. I had to massage that.
Twist it around the way Angel be twisting shit.
I had to massage that.
That wasn't the thing, but that's what she turned it into and what she made the answer.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to be able to take it. But truly, what I do know is that they expect me. I'm not me as in Angel. They expect me as in this black mother to show up for her black children. But when they see the black mama and the black daddy that are also together, there's a whole nother level of get rightness in everybody's spirit that deals with our son. There's a whole nother okay, yes, so, you can't BS. Now, you might be able to pull something over my head because I'm busy, inundated with a lot of things. But when you see this man show up with me, it's a, we should tell them slightly about the phone call we received this weekend on Friday.
On Friday.
I got the call first. I texted you. We'll tell you. This is a good example. We volunteer at our kids' school.
Look, this school is expensive, okay? A lot of expense relatively at this school. The expense that we able to give ain't a lot.
Yes.
All right? Our families can look at us and be like, okay, y'all doing pretty good. The people that whose kids go to this school can look at us and be like, oh.
Yes, it is.
You all, oh, you're trying. Oh, that's cute.
The school is one of the most expensive schools in LA. That's not a flex. I honestly wish it wasn't. Be very honest. This school is more expensive than it was for me to go to a 4-year college.
Yeah.
To get my kids through this school if we were paying full tuition, if that's what it would be. Honest to God. Luckily, a lot of independent schools have things like financial aid due to the generosity of donors that are able to give hefty, hefty checks to these schools. And we are grateful.
Yeah.
So
wait, we make up for it.
Yes.
We still cut that check. And it's not cute at all. It just ain't what it could be.
We still cut a check. However, we give our time.
Yeah.
Being that we have flex schedules, and this is also the life that I've always wanted to live. I've always wanted to be active at my children's schools. We both donate our time. I do a little bit more. Because there's certain things that are just I'm very passionate about, so I'm going to show up for those
things. Angel's just going to show up anyway. Angel will. I'm sure there's people at some of our the last school. We didn't have nothing to give these people. We didn't owe these people nothing at the elementary school that all the boys went to. Mm-hmm. Angel, it's people that probably thought Angel worked at that school.
I was
as much as she was up there.
I was putting in time.
We had nothing to give you. We didn't owe them nothing.
actually, they did ask for money, like a chunk.
And I'm sure they did.
I never gave that. I was like, you're going to get my time yet again. You're not getting this money. So we give time and money. So there is something called the fund is what I'll call it. The fund is how we get donations. We don't just ask the current families. We ask previous families.
Yeah.
Families who have had kids graduate, we say, hey, if you got tax deductible.
Yeah.
So we're just like, hey, if you got extra 1,000, extra 5,000, extra 200, extra 20, please consider donating to the fund. Yeah.
And what's crazy about this fund is, they give you a list of people to call that you don't pick specifically who you call. They just like, all right, here, you call this group of people, you call this group of people. So you can see if they've given in the past what they gave, you know? Mm-hmm.
You can ask for that same amount actually you try to get them to come up.
Come up, yeah. So at first, it's always an awkward, like, phone call and conversation. It's mm-hmm. just like, you calling these people. But they know we get the phone calls. Like,
yes.
There was one time I was supposed to be there, but we were sick, and they called us. It was like, actually.
I said, we supposed to be there right now. And they actually just sent us a bill we need to pay for the what we agreed to pay.
All right.
We started volunteering this last year. Last year we were on it because we only toured during the summer. So we were mm-hmm. in California the entire year outside of the summer. So we were going, making the phone calls. Me and Marcus would tag team. Yeah. It's great.
The more drinks you have, the easier it is.
And they give us liquor.
What you want? You want a drink? Here, drink, drink up, make some phone calls.
This year we haven't been able to do it as much. We haven't been able to do it together. Marcus went one time on his own because I had to go visit Brescia. And then I went the day that we found out about our NAACP nominations. I went and I was racking in the money. I was in a great mood.
Yeah.
I was calling people. I'd be like, Carol, now come on, girl. I saw what you gave last year. I know you got it this year. When can you do it? Completely me. So we get a phone call from one of the parents who is one of the chairs of the fund. And she calls me and she's like, we want you and Marcus to be co-chairs next year. And I said, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's like, what?
What does that mean? She was like, she didn't really get a chance to truly explain it because I was half asleep because I had just landed in Chicago. And she said, oh, I'm about to call Marcus too. So she said, and I'm not going to take no for an answer. And I said, we're not going to back down from a challenge, but we do need to know specifically what you are requiring of us so that we don't mess this up. So we're supposed to have a whole nother conversation so they can really lay out what we're supposed to do. But it is so funny to me that something that we were just like, we're going to show you that you made a good decision of having us here. And they're like, yes, we did. And you will work.
Yeah.
So either we're going to do a great job or they're going to be like, if you all wouldn't mind stepping down.
I'd be like,
all
right, cool.
But yeah, that was not the call that I was just like, huh.
Y'all want this clip? I bought this clipboard, but y'all can have it. It go without all those stuff that I was supposed to be doing. Yeah, but that's what I told him. I was like, we're not going to promise our time or promise something that we can't deliver on. So,
yeah, so it's a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, but she wasn't taking yet no food. She was like, oh, well, this is great because it's two of you all. I was like, look, lady. Because it took her forever to get to what she was going to say to me in the middle of the conversation. I text Angel like, Angel, why am I on the phone with her right now? Like, what is this? And then Valley, she got around to it. I was like, what?
Yeah. We were like, no, God, no. Okay.
It's something she ain't telling us.
I'm going to get it out of her. She's cool people. The woman who
called. No, she's real cool,
people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, oh, Lord, what did the Tanksleys do? All right, let's jump into the topic of today. Okay, I wrote, which one did I choose? Hold on. Yeah. It goes along with the take it or tank it. Ooh, I kind of. I'm sorry. We're gonna skip that one. What we're actually gonna talk about is the role of faith and spirituality in marriage, in parenting.
Mm.
Look, I love
to go with the first one.
What'd you say?
Go ahead.
I should have went with the first
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Why?
Go ahead. We go.
I think it's good because we're about to come around to Easter, and that's typically the only time we are at church now. Kennedy. Oh, Kennedy. How was church for you? The right place? Uh-huh. Okay. And it didn't feel right.
Mm.
Yeah. Our assistant Kennedy, she went back to church this Sunday for the first time in a long time. And we, as you all probably know, have not found a new church home for real since the pandemic.
Yeah, our church keeps, it's dodging us, literally.
What the church we need to
be
at is dodging
the church,
us.
Yeah, the church, our church that we used to go to is dodging us. It was so far away from us. And it's like every time we move closer, it moves the opposite end of town. So it literally used to be near, very close, down the street from where we live now. As soon as we moved over here, they went over back to where we used to live.
Right.
It's like.
Yeah, it's so crazy, and we've talked about this. We talked about this a little bit in another episode, and it's actually one of our clips that we used. I just never imagined myself being someone who did not have their children in church every Sunday, as well as like Bible study or midweek. That's just how I was raised, and I completely feel the benefit I had in going to church as often as I did. I also feel some of the trauma of it, but for the most part, I definitely feel the benefit of not only having a secondary family, because that's my church family was like family, but also having a greater sense of myself connected to this larger being that is God.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know how we're going to fix that with our children. I don't like to use the word fix, but we definitely have to mitigate it.
Yeah, with me, like I grew up in the church, but not on the scale that like Angel and yeah, you and Kev was. We went to church. I was involved in church, but it was, it wasn't the day in, day out, every day a week. We went on Sunday. We had vacation Bible school during the summer for, I think it lasted a week. Mm-hmm. And every now and then there was a revival once a year. It was, so we did things in the church, but it wasn't no day, nightly thing every single day. But as I got older, you know, moved out of California and everything, it's, and even like in through doing my research, and a lot of people hear me kind of, for lack of a better term, sometimes I bash organized religion, just from the more research I do, how I see the, shortcomings of a lot of, you know, churches that I'm familiar with have, as far as a pastor and, you know, the things that they do and how they, you know, the way they organize. However, with that, it's kind of like the more understanding I got on my own, the more faith I developed in God.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's, I started to appreciate the things that I did, the things that I know, even though I see like, oh, they go to this church, this pastor said that. Where y'all getting all these ritualistic things that are nowhere in the Bible? What is this? Why are y'all doing that? Well, actually, Christianity started here. Anytime I, you know, go into these deep things, I just get a better appreciation of God, more appreciation. So it's not that I am turning my back against my religion, because I'm not. But I want my sons to have that same, want them to get exposed more. Just exposed more, and that way they can also find their own way.
Mm-hmm. I think it's
eventually find their own way. I don't want them to be adults like leaping in like, now what is this? What is this God thing? What is this?
That's definitely, I mean, Amar, he gets a taste of it because I was purposeful in putting him in a Christian based daycare. Mm-hmm. I wanted him to get sprinkles at least.
Yeah. I want to remind me to tell you with the pledge that I heard them doing. Oh, so I was like, oh God, we got to get him out of here. Heard them doing a little pledge one morning. I was like, what is
probably that? The Christian pledge.
Goodness, it sounds so, whew.
I definitely feel as though he's getting a little bit of it, right? And then little Marcus, he grew up in it a little bit more. He's aware of prayer, but he's not scripturally sound at all. Because
yeah, I mean, I'm not either, so.
The Bible is not something that I feel like he has had enough contact with. And obviously Kai and Sai are just lost in the wind. But no, Sai actually, in a sense of like understanding that there is a greater being, is very.
They both do, because I've heard them talk about, you know, God and going to heaven and all of that stuff. So it's like they got a little bit of the basics.
Right. So the theology of what we believe is possibly the part that is way more like in out of the Christian supremacy type of point of view of it, of mm-hmm. like, oh, if you're not Christian, you're not going to heaven or hell. Outside of that, move that to the side. I feel like there's just so many benefits to having a faith that tethers you to feeling like you have a connection, a source. You know what I'm saying? And not to say that they couldn't try to find it a different way, but I feel like teaching them this young is just, there's so many benefits that I don't know of another way to make that happen, nor do I want to try to figure out another way, to be honest.
I don't want them to get younger and I don't want them to get older and then I don't want them to look at it like, oh no, man, I ain't into that. But I also don't want them to get into it at an older age and then get sucked into what I found to be a bunch of flaws in our faith.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, you can't believe everything that these people, like, come on, you got to think outside the box a little bit.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. So there are things that I would do if I had an extra hour in the day. One of them, even though it kind of feels like I'm lying, would be to try to clean. The other one might be to work out. All the things that I avoid. All the things that I avoid during the day is probably the thing that I would do if I had that extra hour. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Oh my goodness, if this ain't the truth, that is one of the things that my therapist, I feel like, helped me the most with, is really prioritizing what mattered to me the most and then trying my best to I forgot what the word is, when you hand it off to somebody else to do. The stuff that I did not have to do personally that someone else could do better and possibly enjoy.
Delegating
that to someone else. And I felt so much joy in my life because of it. I feel like a lot of us spend a lot of time not doing the things that we enjoy. And sometimes it's not because it's a has to. It's because we haven't figured out how to prioritize the things that actually fill up our cup. Well, therapy is a way to get settled in figuring out what that is, right? If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is completely online so that it can be affordable and flexible to your schedule and convenient, because you can do it wherever you want to, whether it be in your car, in your garage, in your bathroom, in your bedroom. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time, and it ain't going to cost you no extra money to do that. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/argue today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/argue. The fact of the matter is, in our parenting, it's one thing, but as far as in trying to set a foundation for our kids, but how do you feel like it affects our marriage?
I think earlier on it affected our marriage, just because that was like, you know, first getting married and, you know, getting to know each other, living together. That was something that we could find in common and go to church. And even when we would go through, not even within our marriage, but like hardships outside of the marriage, this is like, that was a common ground. We could, outside of talking to each other, we could go to church and work through that. And, you know, when we would hear, you know, somebody would pray, or, you know, what's it called? Not an apostle. What's the people that be like?
Prophet.
When a prophet would speak over one of us, and this is like, we can both look at each other. It's like, God dang, that was for you, or that was for me, or that was for us. We went through that. So having that connection, like early on, both, I think that made our relationship strong, because it helped us understand each other better.
Yeah.
And also understand each other's faith.
Yeah.
And now, even though we ain't been to church in a long time, this is like when we still have that foundation, you know.
Yeah.
We still have that foundation of faith, and when we go and when we're going through things, or even not going through things, like we pray, you know, when angels traveling, you know, that's always a, she knows that I'm thinking about her, I'm praying, and she knows it ain't just me saying. Or even her family going through something, that ain't just me. All right, I'm going to pray for you. And it never happens. Like, that's something that I'm actually going to do. And so, yeah.
I think
it's been scientifically proven that prayer works. Whether you want to call it vibrations, whether you want to call it whatever you want to call it, it's been scientifically proven that praying for someone actually benefits that person.
I feel like faith and spirituality has affected how I approach being your wife a lot. I definitely feel as though my position in your life is to be one that is of help. I do take that seriously. Obviously, there are things in the Bible that, like, I don't interpret the way other people do, and I'm okay with that. We are definitely not in a marriage where I feel as though I am property. Or I feel as though when Marcus has a strong opinion on something, that is just the way it's going. That is now the law of the thing.
That's the roots of this problem in this marriage.
where I feel like there are a lot of people who they feel like in their faith, that's what that dictates. It dictates that their husband has the final say. I unfortunately was not created in a way, a form or fashion where that would ever bear well with me. We would just have a lot of contention, a lot of strife in our marriage if that were the case. However, there is a softness that I allow my husband to have of me that no one else would get, besides maybe my kids. My kids get a softer angel. That if it wasn't for our faith, I would not probably be that person, because that's not what I typically see. That's not like the version of relationships I normally see from the people that I'm related to. Maybe in other people's marriages, but not people I have blood relationship with. The other part of the spirituality is that I know, and I think I mentioned this to you all before, when me and Marcus are on one accord spiritually about something, things begin to move. Whether it be fasting, whether it be praying, when we are on one accord, things start to happen. And that I feel like is like the crux. Is that how you say it? When it's like the,
yep.
I said it right?
Sure.
You're not gonna be.
I don't know.
The crux. Yeah, I'm somewhere close.
You close.
I'm close. Y'all get what I'm saying? Of like a
the judge. Ugh.
That's definitely not what I was trying to say. But I'll say judge if you want to hear judge.
Nah, I don't.
Of the strength in our marriage is that we both acknowledge that. That doesn't mean we always on the same page, but we know that when we do things, yeah, that's how you spell it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Crux.
Or is it crew?
Shut up.
Hey.
When we are on one accord spiritually, it's just amazing. Like, I truly feel like, you know, some people don't agree. I do think God really ordained marriage. I know there are a lot of people who do not prescribe to that, especially because there's been so many examples of how marriage is detrimental to women. But a marriage where you have two people coming together as equals that are really trying to enhance each other's life, I feel like God ordained that. And it's hard for me to see that to be a bad thing. Yes, if you in an abusive marriage, if you are in a marriage where one person is actually in relationships with other people, I'm not saying that's what God was saying, right. But I do feel like when you can find two people that are really like, we trying to do life together and I'm trying to help you reach your goals. You're trying to help me reach my goals. And we're trying to not get on each other's last nerve as much as possible, but experience as much joy with each other as possible. I don't know how God could not. Did you just roll your eyes? I'll slap you. I don't know how God could not ordain something like that. Or like be a part of something like that. If at the root of God is that he is a creator, if we're saying God created the universe, he created us, I feel like a marriage is like a personification of that. One, you have the potential of actually creating new human beings, but also you are creating life. Mm-hmm. With each other. Oh no. I mean, listen, this is not to knock people who decide to stay single, but I just feel like if we did not have spirituality and faith at the root of our marriage, I don't know. I feel like we would have already been a statistic by now. Truly. Yeah. Anything else you want to add, sir? Mm-hmm. No.
No, you said it.
Is there any way in which you want us to, we'll close with, is there any way in which you want us to build with our faith and spirituality? I mean, one, I do. If I could find some version of a church,
yeah,
that could work for our family, I would be so happy.
Yeah, that's the thing. Here's the gift and the curse of being busy the way we are is fitting in. Now, we're busy is a good thing, but fitting in, going to church, like, mm-hmm. specifically on Sunday, like, touring and everything that's going on. It's, you know, they say it's the day of rest. And to go through the week that we be having and then, oh, yeah, let's get up on Sunday, too. It's like,
I mean, I don't, there's one church that they start early enough that I actually don't mind it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to give it even more of a go. And it's not too far. And they have a good children's church. I just got to get you to come with me because you haven't gone.
But one thing, like, you do it more than I do, but I do it every now and then. It's like in the morning, taking the boys to school, everybody says a prayer, individually says their prayer or whatever. So doing things, practicing things like that of praying, and then, but, you know, again, they not getting no biblical information. You know, it's just them in the faith, and they hear what we say. But definitely, you know, finding that and finding a way to work it in.
Yeah.
Because it is important. Because I went to church, by their age, I was already praying and, you know, had faith and, yeah.
Well, guys, we are so grateful that you're here with us. Next week, we will find out if our podcast is no longer a NAACP Image Award nominated podcast, but if it is a NAACP Image Award winning podcast. There's no longer any voting allowed for our category, but you can still vote for me for social media personality of the year. The link is in the show notes as well as in the description of this video on YouTube. You can follow me at That Chick Angel. Pretty much it's just That Chick Angel, but it might have another ending to it, like TV across all platforms other than TikTok, which I'm never on. IG. Nope.
Damn, girl.
Twitter, which is now X. Jesus, help me today.
You're going to find it eventually.
Listen, I was going to give you all of them.
Hulu. Yahoo.
You can Black see Planet. Me on tour with my good unruly cousin, Kevin, on stage for the Here's the Thing, Unruly Cousin tour. You can go on his website at kevonstage.com to get tickets. What you want to tell them, babe?
Hey, y'all can find me on Instagram at Marcus Ain't on the Gram, Facebook at Marcus Ain't on the Book, TikTok at Tank Don't Talk. Y'all can find my beard and body butter called Man Shit. You can go to manshyt.com and check that out. And I think that's it.
Happy early birthday to our twins. Kai and Sidney are turning 9. And check out our sponsors, ZocDoc, BetterHelp, Lumi, and Factor. Please use our promo codes and URLs to give them a try. Until next time, you guys be blessed.
Y'all have a good one, fam.
Bye.